Grace Point and anyone else that's out there tonight, I hope you came ready for Bible study. This is the night where I try my best not to preach. Actually, my message tonight is kind of going to be a takeoff from Sunday, but I'm hoping to give more information, more revelation than preaching. You know, I was really caught up Sunday. The Lord really put it on my heart. I had a concern for the church about deception and the spirit of deception, and just really felt it strongly. But tonight I want to talk about the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I was talking to a person that I love on Sunday and this week, and they had confusion about the Bible. Have any of you ever had confusion about the Bible? You ever had questions, like, you know, question after question? I run into a lot of people that have questions. And of course, when you believe in the miraculous, well, number one, you know, it gets attacked by non-believers and unbelieving believers, okay? Or if you take the Bible at its word, you really believe that there's power in the word and that there's power in the cross and that there's power in the Holy Spirit. Well, not everybody believes that. You know, they believe that you can get saved and go to heaven, but not every Christian, and beautiful, wonderful Christians that love the Lord and are good people. I have great friends, but they don't believe that God would heal anybody today, especially not through a believer's prayer. They don't believe that you can take the promises of God and stand on them and get prayers answered, not in any real way, but I know they love God. And then I get questions all the time from people. So the more that you believe in the word, the more questions you have. And so my desire as a pastor and as a teacher is to see the church equipped so you know how to go into the word and feed yourself. I talked about that. I started that Monday, that you know how to go in here. This book here, and this is important. You can back off just to keep my head in there. That's good. This book here is a book of revelation. Somebody say amen. This is a book of revelation. This is God's communication to us as believers. You know, science, they can't tell you how we got here. The science can't tell you who you are. Science can't tell you why there's good and evil. Science can't tell you, there's many, many things about our spiritual life. Science can't tell you when you die what happens to you. Science can only look at the physical world and investigate it through their five physical senses. Is that right? Is that what you learn in experiments? You go to school, you learn science. So scientists study the natural world, and that's great. That's the realm of science. There's nothing wrong with it. In fact, it's good. We need to learn about our environment, learn about how things work in the natural, but science cannot tell you if there's a God or not. Science cannot explain why Hitler killed 6 million Jews or why Stalin killed between 20 and 100 million of his own citizens promoting communism. Everywhere it goes, people die. Communism. Everywhere communism is, people die, people are oppressed, people are murdered, people are sent off to gulags and prison. Don't fall for communism. That's just a little throw-in. It can't tell you why Stalin killed all those people. It can't tell you why there's sickness in the world and why there's poverty and all these things. But the Bible, the book of Revelation from God, we can know who we are. We can know how we got here. We can know God's plan for our life. We can even understand why there's evil. We can get it. We know why people get divorced and why people become alcoholics and why people die from disease and why countries go to war against country. We can understand why some people want to oppress other people and have dominion over them and rule the world. We can understand all these things because the Bible explains every aspect of our spiritual life, spiritual, mental, and physical. The Bible explains it. And the Bible is a book of revelation. It's God's communication to you. You know, a lot of times, Charlie, and this is really, really important for you, I don't care if you agree with me on everything theologically. I really don't. There are some things, if you're going to be a Christian, you've got to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You've got to believe that he was the sinless Savior that died for humanity's sins, and he spilled his blood, and he was buried, and after 3 days he rose from the dead. You've got to believe he ascended to heaven, and he's coming back again, and he sent the mighty Holy Spirit. Everyone that's a Christian should believe that, and I think you really should believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I know there are some people out there that believe it different than I do. But listen, we all Christians all believe that. But if you don't agree with me about everything in the Word, that's okay. But what I often say on my Wednesday night Bible studies, if you're going to bring something to me, you know, bring the Word to me. Show me why you believe what you believe, because this is a book of Revelation. And also, you better rightly divide the word of truth. In other words, you can't pull something out of the Old Testament, you know, and try to say this is for a Christian. I can't go into it completely tonight. We talk about this a lot. But you've got to rightly divide the word. The Bible talks about present truth. The Bible talks about there was an old covenant and a new covenant. Are we under the old covenant or the new one? We're under a new covenant. So we have to understand that. We got to rightly divide the covenant that we're under. Somebody say amen. So if you come to me, bring the word. Sometimes, I've gone on and listened to people that have tried to debunk what other Christians believe. And you know what? If they don't give scripture, chapter and verse, or if they take scripture, I heard recently a man attacking another man because the one man believed in miracles, right? And he prays for the sick, and he believes in miracles. And what I noticed about the guy attacking him is he didn't have any scripture. He just believed the days of miracles are over. Or he didn't believe in the authority of the name of Jesus. Or he didn't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But there's no scripture for that. So I don't pay attention to it. I don't listen to it. I need to go into the Word of God. I don't understand everything about the Word, but I bet you don't either. But I am not going to listen to a preacher or a teacher that gives me opinions that aren't based in the Word of God. I heard a preacher one time, and I'm going to help you tonight. I hope I'm going to help you. I heard a preacher one time preach out of Mark 11, 23 and 24. That is the most outrageous, bold scripture on faith you'll ever want to read. And do you know he didn't teach one thing about faith out of that verse? He said that the whole thing was about the fig tree and about Israel, and he did not address the actual teaching of the verse where Jesus said, I say unto you all things whatsoever you desire, you know, whatever you say. He didn't talk about any of that. He just dodged the whole thing. That was completely inadequate. You can't do that. The Word of God says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did miracles in the Old Testament, and he did miracles in the Gospel, and he did miracles through Paul and Peter and Deacon Stephen and Evangelist Prophet Philip, if he did miracles through them, then he still does them today. He hasn't changed his miracle-working nature. If God spoke to Moses, he's still speaking to people today. Amen? And the fact, if you're a Christian, you have, Jesus said that whoever is least in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest person under the old covenant. Do you know why? Do you have a guess, Sister Kittle? Because the person that's least in the kingdom, we're in the kingdom. They were talking about a kingdom to come. They were praying for a kingdom to come. They weren't born again. The Holy Spirit would move on them and they'd speak to them. We are born again. We have the Spirit of God on the inside of us. That right there, the least person in the kingdom of God is greater than anybody in the Old Testament. And I know in the Old Testament, they were healing lepers. They were raising dead people. They were commanding the sun to stand still. They were phenomenal. They had one guy threw an axe head sunk in the water, an axe head sunk in a lake or something, And he took the stick of the axe head and he threw it, and the axe head came up on the stick. What in the world was that all about? I mean, that's crazy stuff, isn't it? You are greater than that person, or Jesus wasn't telling the truth. Jesus said in John 14, 12, please write this down. I'm not making it up. Jesus said in John 14, 12, that you, the believer, would do greater works than he did because he was going to the Father. That's what he said. He said, whatever you ask in my name, if you believe it, and that's the key, he said, I'll do it. He said, well, it has to be the will of God. Amen. And healing is the will of God. Miracles are the will of God. Now, I understand. I do. I get. And I believe, you know, I don't have everything figured out. I don't understand everything about everything. I do believe we have to be under the authority of Jesus, that he's the head and we're a part of the body. So in order to do miracles, we have to operate under his authority. I do believe that. We got to listen to him. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless the Father tells me. So we need to be under authority. But if we're under authority, we have authority. Now in your life, you can receive anything that God's promised you. If you can find it in this word and you know it belongs to you, you can go in here and receive anything from God in your life. Amen? Anything that's in here that's promised to you. But sometimes, folks, it is a battle. It can be a struggle, and we have enemies, and we have opposition. Would someone say amen? But what I want to teach you tonight, so I can get up, and I've heard the greatest faith messages, and I've been stirred up, and I know you have too, but you can go out 3 days from now and forget everything I taught you. Or you can get in the heat of battle, and you can get just filled with unbelief, or you can be tempted and you can fall into sin. Sin will harden your heart and you won't mix faith with anything in here. You can go off and follow the devil. I mean, so we have to learn as believers how to get into this word. Here I'm going to sit down again, Pam. We have to learn, you can zoom in a little bit when I sit down. We have to learn how to get into this word and hear from heaven. Do you know the last 2 days I've got up, I think it's been 2 a.m, not bragging. I wish I could have slept till 6, honestly. I really do. But I get up in the Word, and like the Lord is just talking to me, just speaking to me. And today he was talking to me, you know, a lot about how the world lies in deception. The whole world is under this deception. And then he's talking to me the other day about revelation knowledge and how to hear from heaven and just teaching me. It's a wonderful thing. I want to teach anybody that's going to listen to me, I want to teach you how you can go into the Word without Brother Brad, or who's a teacher in the body of Christ, you know, another good teacher. I don't know who you like. Who do you like, Pam? Who's out there? Beth Moore. Who else? Who do you like, Charlie? Derek Prince. I would like to teach you how you don't need Derek Prince or Beth, or you can go. Now, it's good to have teachers. I listen to a lot of teachers, but how you can go into the Word and hear from heaven for yourself. So having said that, please flip over to Ephesians chapter 1. It's a book that I've taught out of before, a scripture, but I want to slow down and go over this meticulously with you. Remember, this is a Wednesday night Bible study. I'm not preaching. I'm going to teach. Okay, and starting with verse, I'll tell you, the book of Ephesians is just full of powerful revelation. It may be the pinnacle of the New Testament. I mean, it's just a powerful book. Paul said, when I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Now, right there, folks, there it is. That's what God's after, faith and love. And a good conscience. Right there. God wants you to have faith. He wants you to walk in love. And he wants you to have a good conscience. He says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I know just what he means. He's thinking about them and he's praying. How did he pray for them? He said, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, very specific, he's not praying to Buddha, He's praying to the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. I pray that he would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in you, saint. Unless you're an ain't, Charlie, is what you say. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards you? Toward who? You. See, I feel like I need to walk right toward the camera. The exceeding greatness of his power, I'm going to get close anyway, Menti. I'm going to come right up to here. The exceeding greatness of his power to you, church. His power is toward you. It's not just toward the Apostle Paul. I would turn around. I don't want you to see my bald spot back here, so I'll just step back slowly. The exceeding greatness of his power towards you. It's for you, Charlie. The power of God's towards you. And he worked it in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. That's the position of authority. And it goes on to say he's the head of every principality, power, might, and dominion. And he's the head of the church. And the church is his body. And the body is the fullness of God. Think about it. Can the head be full by itself? No. The head has to have a body. So, and that's the same thing it says. Look it up. Read it. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Christ is the head. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. What's that rapper that says Jesus is King? Kanye West. Jesus is King. He's the head. We are a member of his body, but the fullness is in the body. He's the head. It's the body. So all the fullness is in Christ, and he brings that fullness to us. That's why it says in Colossians 2, and you have fullness in him. Right there ought to make you shout. Church, you have fullness right now in Christ. He's the head, and everything that belongs to Christ belongs to you. That's right. He died and was buried and rose from the dead. He executed the will. And you have an inheritance. In fact, right in here, one of the prayers that Paul is praying is that you would know the inheritance that Jesus has in you. Everything that he did for you. Now, I know there's, and I have to say this so you understand. I know that Jesus was God in the flesh. I know that he's the only king. We're not. He is. But we are a part of his body. We have the same spirit that Jesus does. And so Paul was praying that the church would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So somebody asked me just Sunday, they said, how can I have more faith? Or how can my faith be strong? Or how can I grow in my faith? In order for you to have more faith, do you know Jesus said if you had faith the size of a grain of mustard seed that you could speak to a mountain and command it to move and it would move? That doesn't sound like a lot of faith. And it doesn't sound like you need a lot of faith to get a mountain to move. So it must not be the size of your faith, right? It must just be that you have any faith, okay? And the way that we're going to understand everything that Jesus has done for us or who we are, what does it mean to you that you're a son of God? What does that mean to you? I'm asking you. What does it mean? The Bible says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now. What does that mean to you? Nothing? What does it mean to you that you have been raised up and seated with Christ right now? That's what the Bible says in heavenly places. Does that mean anything to you in your day-to-day existence? Does that have any bearing on how you live your life? The word says it in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 2. You've been raised up and seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above the principalities and powers. You're above them. You already have the victory over principalities and powers. You already have the victory. Jesus said it's finished, it's done. We are not fighting for the victory. We're fighting from Jesus' victory. And that's why Paul was praying, Lord, I want them to know what happened at the cross. I want them to know the power that's available. It's available to you. I want them to know the authority they have in their seating with Christ in heavenly places. Lord, open the eyes of their heart, because things are going to be a lot different when people know who they really are. So in order to have faith, which, you know, faith is the victory that overcomes the world, we have to know what Jesus did for us as a believer at the cross. What happened at the cross? What happened in his burial? And what happened when he was raised from the dead? Let me ask you a question. Do you know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, that you were raised from the dead? It had to be spiritual. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says that we were baptized into Christ. It had to be spiritual. We have been, get this, we have been born again. We're no longer sinners that are saved by grace. You were a sinner saved by grace. You have been born again. You are now a saint and members of the household of God. If you're a sinner, that means the Spirit of Jesus doesn't live in you. The Bible says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. The Bible says that Christ in you is the hope of glory. So if you don't have Christ in you, yeah, you're a sinner. But if Christ is in you, your essential nature is not that of a sinner. Jesus lives in you, or this book is a lie. Christ liveth in me, Paul says. I don't live. Galatians 2:20. He said, I don't live anymore. It's Christ that liveth in me. I don't frustrate the grace of God. If we become righteous by the law, Christ died needlessly. Christ lives in you. Now, I do understand. I get it. Our bodies are still earthly, and they're subject to decay, and they're subject to sin. We can get tempted out of our bodies. Our minds need to be renewed and changed. We need to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation to find out what Jesus has done for us. I don't walk in it perfectly, okay? And I assume most of you don't either. I think if Paul said that he didn't walk in it perfectly, but he said, I know that's the goal. Let's flip over there real quick. Can we do that? Pam, am I going the right speed? Am I getting my message across? Charlie, am I doing okay? Okay, thank you, sir. I trust Charlie. And you, Pam. I trust you, too. Amen. Are you with me out there? Stay with me. Look, I'm talking about the spirit of wisdom and revelation, okay? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, well, where do I start, Lord? He says, I think it's verse 7, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yes, indeed, I count everything loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Would somebody out there say knowledge of Christ, or would you write it down? He said, the knowledge of Christ, Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them rubbish that I may gain, Pam, Christ. And be found where? In him. Not having my own righteousness. That's why a lot of people think they're sinners, because they still think they have to earn their righteousness, Charlie. And as long as you got to earn it, you're going to think you're a sinner, because you know that you ain't perfect in your flesh. You ain't earned it. You have to take it by faith. I won't go there. Amen. Which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Amen. So Paul says that, listen, He goes on, he says, now I have, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. He says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I put those things behind me which are behind, and I reach forward for those things that are ahead. I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call that's in Christ Jesus. So he's saying the goal, the prize, is to apprehend Christ. The prize is to be found in him. The prize is to walk in him. The prize is to live in him. The prize is to come into a knowledge of him. The prize is to move out in the name of him. Amen? And he says, and so when people tell me, well, my faith didn't work or this didn't work, I say, well, join the club, get in the chorus. I don't know anybody that it's worked for every time. I don't know that that person's out there. Get in line, because we're lining up behind the Apostle Paul, and we are not going to quit because we fell down and had a boo-boo, or the devil barked at us, or a friend betrayed us, or that people hate us. You know, we're not going to quit, because the only goal that's worth pursuing is the high call of God that's in Christ Jesus. And when you die, I hope these words are ringing in your heart and in your mind when you stand before God. The one thing that you're going to hope is that you pursue Jesus Christ. And that's the one thing that I'm going to hope. That whatever God's plan for my life was, whatever his purpose was, that's what I pursued. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Same thing he said, Charlie, in Ephesians chapter 1. I pray that you might know the power that's available to you. That's my prayer for you, Charlie, right now. There's a young lady that called me. My prayer for her, I love her. My prayer for her is I'm praying that she would know the power that's available. I'm praying that she knows the authority that she has to tell the devil to get out of her life. But meanwhile, since you're not there yet, don't give up, don't quit, don't cry, keep pursuing Jesus. And how do you do that? Well, you pray. I'm not going to tell anybody you're here, Sister Tracy. You pray and you ask God to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. If I were me, and if I were you, I would pray this prayer every day until that spirit begins to operate in our life. If you get up and this book is dead to you, I'd be praying, saying, God, make this book come alive. I hear these different preachers preaching. It sounds like God's talking to them. And you know, a lot of people get confused too. They're listening for voices. I occasionally hear a word from God. Like, you know what I mean? Occasionally. But when I say I hear from the Lord, I hear from God when I get up in the morning and I'm studying his word. David said in Psalms 119, 130, the entrance of thy word gives light. The entrance of thy word. So I want to come into the word and I'm praying, God, illuminate your word. Let it give light in my heart. Let it come alive to me. Give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation, because the entrance of your word gives light. And then there's another way that God speaks. God speaks, it's not a voice in your head. It's just, you just have a knowing about something. Amen. You ever had that? You don't know how you know it. The other day, and some of you that came to church, I was sitting over here about a month ago or so, and the Lord gave me a word, and I heard a word, foot. I heard it two or three, I think three times, foot. Then I let it go. It's a word of knowledge, by the way, 1 Corinthians 12. And I heard it again. I heard it again. And I knew, I didn't hear God tell me, but I knew that one of these people in the front that were visiting, it was one of them. I knew it. And I don't know how I knew it. I just knew it. It was knowledge. So if I said God told me, some people would think, well, God, what do you mean God told you? He told you, Brad, that lady in the middle? And no, I didn't hear him. I wasn't listening to voices. I wasn't hearing something talking in my ear. It was in my spirit. I just knew without hearing any voice. So I might say, well, God showed me it's somebody here. But I didn't That's just, what is that? It's a metaphor. It's an analogy. He didn't show me anything. I just knew, but I don't know how else to say it except to say that God told me or God showed me. I'm not listening to voices. God is speaking into my spirit, and he's giving me revelation and understanding. I'm not listening to chatter. Just occasionally, I'll hear a word from God in my mind. He might even give me a couple words right here, or I might hear something down in my spirit, an inner voice, but that's not the normal 9-to-5 way I walk with the Lord. Today, Pam and I were at Family Dollar, and these two guys pulled up next to us, and I just had this thing where, like, I'm supposed to witness to these guys sitting over here. It was like a knowing. I know that I'm supposed to do this, and then the question in my mind is, how am I going to do it? Amen? Does that make sense? It's an inner knowing, okay, without words. Okay, so I'm hearing from God in my heart, in my spirit. I'm hearing from God in the Word. When we hear from God, that's how faith comes. Most breakthroughs in your life is going to come because of a revelation. Either someone's going to be preaching, and all of a sudden the lights are going to go on. The entrance of the Word is going to bring light to you. The lights are going to go on, or you're going to be studying the Word of God, and you're going to be reading in the Word, and light bulbs are going to come on. That's the spirit of wisdom and revelation. God's given you understanding. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul talks about the light of the gospel shining in on you. Flip over to John 14:26. Can I slow down a little bit? It is Wednesday night, right? This is a Bible study. Have I started to preach? What time is it, guys? I don't have my watch with me. We're doing good. We're doing good. It's 7:32. So Paul's praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, right? The spirit of wisdom and revelation comes from the Holy Spirit. Do you know if you're a believer, the mighty Holy Spirit lives inside of you? Do you know he's your teacher? Do you know he wants to teach you? But you got to give him time. You have to value him. You got to talk to him. You got to get along with him. You got to pray. You have to seek. In John 14, 25 and 26, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and he will bring to remembrance all things that I have said unto you." Remember how I taught Sunday, how the disciples, Jesus just kept talking about going to Jerusalem and being crucified, and the disciples didn't get it. They didn't understand it. You know, it said clearly they did not understand what he was talking about. Well, Jesus knew that. They didn't understand the gospel. They didn't know that Jesus had to die and be buried and raised from the dead. They didn't know he was going to Hades. That's where he went, Hades. That's where the Bible says he went. Hades is the abode of the dead. It's not hell. Hell involves the lake of fire. Hades was the abode of the dead. That's where people went that were going to go to hell. And I think it's Luke 16. That guy was in torment. Or is it 18? I don't know. 16. Lazarus, the guy was in Hades in torment. And there was two sides to there was also paradise, which was Abraham's bosom. So if you were waiting for Jesus to die and to be buried and risen from the dead, you would go into Abraham's bosom. Maybe you saw my video on Facebook. I talked about Abraham's bosom this week. You would go to Abraham's bosom and you would wait there. But if you were going to go to hell, they went to Hades in the abode of the dead and they were tormented there, right? That wasn't hell, H-E-L-L. Hell is Gehenna. And that's the lake of fire. It's a place of torment. You went to Hades, but people were tormented in Hades. And Jesus went to Hades, the Bible says. Clearly it says it. Okay, Well, they didn't understand that Jesus was going to go to Hades. They didn't understand that he was taking the keys, the authority back from the devil. They didn't understand that Adam lost the keys. They didn't understand any of it. All of that stuff had to come after Jesus rose from the dead and went to heaven, and he sent the Holy Spirit, and the mighty Holy Spirit began to reveal these things to them. Peter couldn't wait on tables because he had the ministry of the Word, and he had to study this thing so the Spirit could teach it to him. Paul went away, I think, for 3 years alone with the Lord so the Lord could reveal to him the gospel. Paul called it my gospel. He had to unveil it to him. These natural men didn't understand it. But the Bible we have is revelation knowledge. These men got it from the Lord and they wrote it down. It was the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And he said, the Holy Spirit will show you that. John chapter 16, are you with me? I can always kind of tell when I'm losing people. I can just feel it. And I'm losing a few, so I'm going to try to make this succinct here. In John 16, in verse 12, this is what I'm telling you. Listen to what I'm telling you. Read these words and ask yourself, what do they mean? He said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. You're not going to understand them now. You can't bear them. You don't get it. But when he, the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. What belongs to him, all things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I have said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. Who will do that? I'm asking, who's going to do that? The Holy Spirit. Well, who's going to teach you? The Holy Spirit. Even if a man's preaching and faith is coming to you, faith is a spiritual quality. Did you know that? It's not intellect. It's not reason. It's revelation. Nothing wrong with reason. You can reason about a lot of things. Reason's good. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You can reason with somebody all day long, but they're not going to get saved until they put their faith in the Word of God and what Jesus did for them. At somewhere, faith has to come into their heart, and they've got to believe the gospel. Faith is a spiritual quality. So the Holy Spirit. So when you pray, you ask God. So when you sit down and read your Bible in the morning, you sit down and you say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Father, I am asking you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Lord, open the eyes of my heart. Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. And there's another prayer where he says, God, I pray that they're filled with knowledge of your will. Get this, with all spiritual knowledge, with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's another prayer Paul prayed. I pray that they're filled with all spiritual knowledge and understanding. He also prayed, Father, I pray that they increase in the knowledge of God. These are all wonderful prayers for us to pray for others and for ourselves. Because when we read the Word, we need the Holy Spirit to come in and illuminate and bring faith to it. It's one thing to know, you know, you can say all day long, by his stripes I'm healed, and never be healed. Or you can say, by his stripes I'm healed. Like, oh, I get it. By his stripes I am healed. And the light bulbs go on, and you're like, hey, I get it. So we need to pray for this. Now, we have an enemy, and I think I'm going to end. I had more to talk about, and I'm kind of glad I didn't get into that as much, because I really wanted to talk about causing the light to shine in. But you have an enemy, and I have an enemy, and the world has an enemy. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it says that the whole world lies under the power of the evil one, or under the sway of the devil. Did you know that? Did you know the whole world lies under the grip of the devil? Did you know that? In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe the gospel. Let me read this to you. He says, but even if our gospel is hidden, or if it's veiled, it is hidden to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light, that's Revelation, of the glorious gospel of Christ would shine in on them, who is the image of God, would shine in on them. That the gospel would shine in on them. That implies revelation. That implies shining. He says, we don't preach ourselves. We preach Jesus as Lord. So the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. There's a veil on their heart in Romans 3. And I'm coming to a close here, folks. I'm going to kind of wrap this up. In Ephesians 4, it says that people's hearts are darkened. And it says their hearts are darkened and their hearts are blinded and they can't see. Because they have a hardness of heart, and because of sensuality and because of sin, their hearts are darkened. And he said, that shouldn't be how you live because you have Jesus. We need to seek after the light. We need to follow after the truth. You don't even get saved until the Holy Spirit illuminates the fact that you're a sinner and you're separate from God. That's really the only revelation you need to get saved, is the Holy Spirit saying, you are a sinner. You don't know much about Jesus. You don't know anything about miracles. You may not know anything about eschatology. You may not know anything about pneumatology. You may not know anything about, salvation, soteriology. You may not know anything about Christology. You don't know anything about anything. And some of them said, I don't know anything about it now. Amen. Amen. But you know the Holy Spirit illuminates you and like, I am a sinner. I am. That's what happened to me. I was proud and I didn't need God. And I walked away from God, said it was all kindergarten, Sunday school stuff. And I thank God that I was in Joe Martin's church and Joe Martin preached the gospel and the conviction of the Holy Spirit came on this agnostic, this unbelieving, sinful wretch of a human being and said, you are a sinner. And if you'll admit it, I'll forgive you. I said, Lord, by the grace of God, I raised a feeble hand. And after being scared to death, I walked down to an altar and I got saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. There was illumination. And on that day, I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I started speaking in tongues that I was taught didn't even exist when I went to the church I went to growing up. They didn't even believe in it. I didn't even believe in it when I was speaking in them, Charlie. The guy told me, do you want to get baptized in the Holy Spirit? I said, yeah, I guess. He said, well, you know, you're praying tongues. And I said, I didn't really believe in them, but I said, if they're from God, I want them. He said, they're from God. So I received the Holy Spirit, and I prayed in the Spirit. Okay, and I didn't even really believe much in it. But when I came out of that room, I was a new creation. Amen. And this Bible, like, came alive to me. I started seeing miracles in here. And I started seeing what it meant that Jesus died for me. And I began to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And to this very day, I haven't arrived. I say it all the time. I haven't arrived, but I'm still growing in grace and I'm growing in revelation knowledge of who Jesus is. And folks, listen, that's why Charlie, that's why Pam, that's why we get in these battles that you're in, Minty. That's why you're in battles. Because if you're not in a battle, you'll never be able to apply revelation. I was praying for someone this week and I was rebuking the devil off of their life because I knew that the devil was blinding, they're a believer, and the devil was blinding them and discouraging them, and they didn't have the strength in their self to pick up their sword. They were giving up, and I have a revelation that I have authority and I can pray in Jesus' name and I can bind the devil and rebuke him and make him get off of people, at least for a while. At some point, you have to decide, you know, God's going to require you to decide that you don't want the devil, but you do have authority and you can bind him up so that person can make their mind up of who they're going to serve. They ultimately have to decide. Someone say amen. Well, I believe that because I believe there's power in the name of Jesus. And I don't believe it's just a song or a saying. I believe there's literally power that heaven backs the name of Jesus if you use it in faith and if you use it under the auspices of the Holy Spirit, under his direction. You have power in that name. I believe it. And so we can speak it. And so I pray for people that way. Well, that came out of a revelation. But God wants you to pray for yourself. And Minty, what I was saying is the reason you're in battles is you're not going to have any victory or you're not going to grow in faith and you're going to get into a battle. You would never know that you had faith if you didn't have a battle. You would never know that Jesus healed your sick body if you never had a symptom or some sickness try to get on you. If you never got the victory over sickness, you'd never know that Jesus healed you by his stripes, you're healed. If you never had an enemy attack you, you'd never know that you could really forgive somebody by the love of God in your heart. If you never had anybody be mean and nasty to you, you wouldn't know that you could have the victory to love your enemies. It's that trial when you're, that's why it's so wrong, Christian, when you finally get someone attacks you, you finally get someone to come against you, you're finally in a battle, and we start complaining and grumbling to God, that's the time for us to raise up our hands, and that's the time for us to pray, and that's the time for us to speak the word of God, and that's the time for us to persevere, that's the time for us to stand in faith, that's the time for us to grow up. Someone say amen. It's time to shed those Christian diapers and put on some, you know, training shorts or something. Amen? And if you're a teenager, it's time to get out of those Reeboks, okay, and put some work shoes on and get down to business. It's time to grow up. Paul said we're going to grow up into him in all things, in every aspect. God's will for you is that you grow up in every aspect into Christ Jesus, in every way, that you walk like Jesus, that you talk like Jesus, that you look like Jesus, that you smell like Jesus, that you're walking in the authority in the name of Jesus. That is God's will for your life in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's God's perfect will for you. His will is for you to get rid of those diapers. And it's his will for you to overcome. God wants overcomers. The Bible says, anybody that overcomes, I'll put them on a throne. And you will reign with me. And you will rule with me. Do you want to reign and rule with Jesus? Well, you will not reign and you will not rule with Jesus unless you overcome. That promise is for overcomers. It didn't say people get saved and you're going to reign and rule. It said the overcomers are going to reign and rule with Jesus. Do you want to overcome? Amen. Come on. I'm happy. No, we have battles. And I'm not the best and I'm not the strongest. And I haven't had, people have had harder battles than me. I got a dear brother. His name's Richard and he's really struggling. I just got off the phone with him. He got bad news from his doctor. And God bless him, he's discouraged. And he has every reason to be discouraged. And that's where the church has to go pray for those people. I'm not saying beat people up. I'm telling you to be salty. I'm telling you to overcome, church. I'm telling you to grow up. So when you go out in the world, you can have compassion on people that are weak. I'm not trying to beat weak people up. I'm not trying to beat struggling people up. I want to encourage the church to become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, Ephesians 6. So when you go out of your house, you can look at somebody else that's struggling and you have some authority and you have some power that you can go pray for them. Or you can give them a word of encouragement. Or you can pull some money out of your wallet and say, I've got some to spare here. Even if you don't, you got faith. I don't have any money, but I got faith. You can take my last five. Amen? You're talking to a man, God just bought me a pair of tennis shoes. What do you think about that? I prayed for him, and like 3 days later or 5 days later, I got the money for him. Ain't that great faith? I got tennis shoe faith. Amen? I have tennis shoe faith. No, what I'm saying is, folks, as a Christian, as a believer, we need the spirit of wisdom and revelation to find out who we are so we can overcome by faith and we can walk out in our world and help the weak people, help sick people, help poor people. You know, we're helping our people in our church are helping down at the vertical, feeding the hungry, right? We're helping Haitians. We're sending money to Haiti so we can feed kids in Haiti. They're not doing that down to Atheist Club. Did you know that? They're not doing that down to Fife and Drum. They're not feeding the poor down to Fife and Drum. They're crying in their beer. But you're a man and you're a woman of God and you are growing up into Him and you're going to lift out your hand and you're going to do exploits in the name of Jesus. Amen? Come on now. Come on. We are getting out of our diapers, church. We're going to grow up. Well, how are we going to do it? By praying to the Lord and asking Him to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation on everything Jesus did. Do you know, and I'm going to end here. I could just go on and on. Do you know when you walk in the supernatural, I said this about 3 weeks ago, people make fun of you. When I've been reading in the words since I said that, and I have seen it all over the place. Do you know in the chapter 2 of Acts when they spoke in tongues, do you know the people laughed at them? They said they were drunk. And the NIV, the New International Version says, they laughed at them. What are you so afraid of people laughing at you for? Don't you want the power and presence of God? Let's don't be afraid of what people say. Let's allow the Lord to grow us up. Let's take time in the Word. Let's take some time in prayer. Let's ask the Lord to fill us with the spirit of might, Ephesians chapter 3. Ask Him to fill us. Let's quit crying, quit belling all the time. Let's see what the Lord says. And the Lord, listen, if you're struggling, the Lord has compassion on you. He's going to comfort you and help you. But when all the comfort is over and all the help, He's going to get up and say, okay, come on now. Let's do some fighting. It's time to, you know, when you're a baby, people are going to give you your milk. They're going to give you fresh diapers, and they're going to give you Gerbers, and you're going to love them. When they're a little toddler, they make mistakes. They get on a bicycle, and they fall down. You're going to get them back up. We don't yell at toddlers. You know, kid's 10 years old, and he's cutting the grass, and he tips the mower. Okay, we got to go teach him how to cut the grass. You got to grow up. But, folks, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. It's time to learn who you are and who Jesus is in you and who He is in me. It's time when you get in a battle not to fold. It's time to fight in the name of Jesus. It's time to be expecting God to do mighty things. It's not time to back up. It's not time to live in fear. And it's not time to live in defeat. I tried not to preach. Did I mostly teach, guys? They said, no, they're saying, no, I didn't. Well, I tried to. So pray the Ephesians prayer. There's one in chapter 1 and there's one in chapter 3. Pray those prayers for yourself. Get into the Word and ask the Lord to unveil this. That's how your faith will grow. Your faith grows through revelation. Your faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, but you need revelation in that. You need to understand it. You need the Lord to apply it in your life. I don't imagine there's any questions or anything. That's like, so if you need prayer for anything, you can send Sonny an email. I think Brian had it up on our screen there, and she'll put you on the prayer list. You can make a post on my Facebook page or the church's, and if I get wind of it, I'll definitely pray for you. Please pray for my friend Richard. He's had cancer, and he's in a real struggle, in a battle, and he's had some dreams, and just a real tough time. If you would please pray for my buddy Richard tonight, just ask God to strengthen him and help him and encourage him and bless him. So I'm going to pray for you, then we'll close it out for tonight. I'll see you Sunday morning at 10:30. Father, I pray for the church, and I'm not preaching to the lost today, Lord. I'm preaching to the church. I'm teaching the church. And my heart's desire, God, would you grant us, I humbly ask you, Lord, to grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, who He is. That you would open the eyes of our heart, that you would open the eyes of our understanding, and you would grant us this revelation so we would know the hope that we've been called to. and we would know the riches, the wealth of the glory of your inheritance in us. And Father, I pray that you would unveil to us the power that's available to us because we believe. Because we believe. That same power that you performed in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this age, but Lord, in the age to come, and gave him to be head over the church, which is his fullness, the fullness of him that filleth, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Lord, give us that understanding and revelation. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, folks, we'll see you Sunday morning. Great to have you in our lesson tonight. Thank you, Brian.